play a few things that I don't play very often, so I'll get on some notes. Y'all don't mind that, I hope?
No!
This is a really lovely, beautiful town. It was the drive over today from New York City, and GPS took us off the big road, and we did a lot of windy country roads, and it was really stunning. So
nice.
It was very nice.
Fact came to life.
policeman waiting. The heathens, it seems, got coked up and drunk and did a lot of communicating. Life is cheap for a couple of creeps, but this here is the smoker. Your prints were found all around the room, but not on the fireplace poker. The preacher's son brought his father home and followed him inside. Shots rang out in the Tuscumbia night. No one was there when he died. Don't call the son for questioning. Bullet was deserved. Better call it suicide. Justice has been served. Better call it suicide. Justice has been served.
Have a heart attack before we pay off the presents. Granddaddy's
Here's one I haven't done in years and years and years, and I'm going to do it tonight. And it's all Clam's fault. So, used to be a killer, this killer in the land. Women and children just as easy as a man. Roll their mangled bodies nonchalantly out the door. Now I've lost my taste for killing anymore. I made me lots of money, was the best at my job. Never had a 9-to-5, wrist cheer still to rob. Just shoot them in the head and walk right out the door. But I don't have the stomach for killing anymore. Something must be done, but it's all that I can do. Good as an assassin who just can't follow through. She took me in her arms, no one else would have me. Taught me how to throw the blade and never let them grab me. Taught me how to shoot so straight without a moment's skill. She was the most beautiful thing that I had ever killed. Something must be done, but it's all that I can do. What good is an assassin who just can't follow through?
Someone will be here.
decisions. Distant shore. my Christian Southern brethren, well, I'll tell you all what for, to leave your heathen ways to pin you and your shoes outside the door. Take a stand for noble causes till you just can't stand no more. Surrender to some Savior and praise the Lord. Vote for Roy Moore, praise the Lord. But despite our best intentions, it pains me to report, we keep swinging for the fences, coming up a little short. We sure can get it wrong for someone so devout. I hear you whistling past the graveyard looking down. Whistling past the graveyard looking down. Thank you. That's everybody, anyway. Well, I've never been here before, and I've been a lot of places. And I'll tell you what, I sure hope I get to come back. This is a really treat. What a beautiful place. Wonderful, wonderful time. Yeah, y'all should have him come too sometime. Drafted by the army, they sent him off to fight over in Germany. Left my grandma at home with a brand new baby boy, and my mom was born the day they bombed Hiroshima. Not long after that, my granddad got to meet her. Alabama to Kentucky, but still he would have told you he was lucky just to watch his pretty bride push them babies down the street, and the way that the cars all lined up behind her, the way that the traffic backed up behind her. Lost his mind, cause he'd rather not remember anymore. And he refuses to stop driving, so grandma's locked his keys next door. And he spends his days just looking around, looking around, looking around. But he's forgotten what he's looking for. He's forgotten what he's looking for. He's forgotten what he's looking for. This once before, but maybe not. I'm not sure. But
play it now.
That last song is one of them things I refer to as a family song, and it's not totally literally a true story, but yet somehow it kind of all is. And you know how that can be. I don't know, but that happens. Things got turned around, but it's pretty true. My mom was born, she was actually born on August 5th, but with like the time change and stuff, it was probably about the time they dropped the bomb. And which I guess is the actual official start of the baby boom when you think about it. And my mom was born on the first day of the baby boom, and I was probably born on the last day of the baby boom. I'm like the last baby boomer. And I was born on March 24th, 1964, and that's pretty much about the cutoff point, I think, for that phenomenon. And that's not water. So, long time ago, I wrote a song. Wrote a song for my mom when she married my stepfather, and she married my her second husband, Chester. But I wrote this song called 18 Wheels of Love. And he was a truck driver, and yeah, we named our band the Drive By Truckers because it was just kind of all related. And my mom and I just come out of a period of we've had our tough times, but we were on a pretty high point at that point, and I was wishing her well with her new life, and I wrote that song for her and all that. But as the years have progressed and everything, my mom has become convinced that I've actually never written anything ever for her or about her, and she tells my sister that. And so every time my sister talks to my mom, she's like, you know, you could tell your brother that he has a mother too. And it was funny because I've really actually never written a song about my dad, but he gets talked about a lot in like press because he was a musician, and that's a good story. And so people, when they interview you, they're looking for a good story, and that's a good story. So it gets told a lot. And so my mom reads those things, and it's like, well, he's got a mother too. But my mom is she's always had a kind of troubled relationship with her brother, and they weren't really close as kids, and becoming adults didn't help, and at any rate, I wrote this song. I was talking to my mom on the phone a few months ago, and she's not doing well. She's in pretty bad health, and I was feeling bad for her, and so I wrote this song, and then I sent it to my sister. My sister's like, you know, she's gonna really hate that fucking song. God damn it, she is, isn't she? She's like, yeah, she's gonna hate that song, you know. And you can't win, you know. But I'm gonna play it for y'all, so I hope y'all don't hate it. And, so I've kind of given you a little bit of the background on it, and the song's called Scott's Sister. Stretch my arms across the USA. I still couldn't reach where you are today. I know that there's been times when I wanted it that way, but time has a way of leveling things. There were plenty of bad times, I thought you were mean. Good times getting blizzards at the dairy. Like a twister, leaving havoc in my wake, just like Scott's sister. Your brother was a force of nature, I guess. The attention he attracted overshadowed your dress. I guess there's no denying he was your mama's favorite. He was up clouds where you were down on the pavement, up in the clouds where you were down on the pavement. My kids really love you even though they barely know you. I'm trying to come to terms with the debts I owe you. I wish that I could take away the pain you're in. And I hope I get to see Scott's sister again. I hope I get to see Scott's sister again. If I could stretch my arms across the USA, I still couldn't reach for you or today. I know that there have been times when I wanted it that way. Time has a way of leveling things. Time has a way of leveling things. I'm surprised by the things I sometimes write about. I opened up my veins and my mama came out. There's a buzzing in my brain like a bad transistor. There's a bee in your bonnet over being Scott's sister.
Thank you.
his hands off of mom's throat. Baby, push a little harder. You got me on the brink. Spilling morphin guts about why Henry drinks. So much about why Henry drinks. True stories, or you make that shit up? And it's like, well, they're true stories that sometimes I make up. Some are a little more one than the other. But this song is a fucking true story. In fact, it's so true that I was writing it as it was happening. I was just writing it down. And then something else would happen, and I'd write that down. And it was back in my younger days, and I was, let's just say I was doing all kinds of bad things. No. I mean, like, you know, not terrible things. But I didn't have a button on my desk or nothing, let's say I made $150 one night playing a show. There's a good chance I might have spent $125 of it on cocaine. And I probably couldn't write that off on my taxes, but I could write it off in my head as what I needed to do just to get through the night and get to the next one. I woke up the next day after writing half of this song, and I sat down and I played it, and I thought, you know, that was pretty good. I think I'm going to finish that. Got something there. And then I couldn't finish it. And I spent years, and every so often I'd pull it out and nothing would come. And then my life drastically changed, and I had kids, and doing some of them bad things. And one night I just had this epiphany that was the end of the song, the Technicolor ending. And I sat down and I wrote it, and the song's called The Opening Act. Gets knocked off, and I think he's hurt. It's a bitch facing facts and figures. There's a band on stage that used to be big, they're on, but no one's listening. And they're asked to turn down, and they politely oblige. Ain't no such thing as a free ride. Opening slot, and I hit my mark and leave as the crowd is thinning. But the man's on the guest list, so I guess it'll be alright. The man's on the guest list, so I guess it'll be alright. Man's on the guest list, so I guess it'll be alright. Man's on the guest list. Come and they haul off that urban bovine Knievel, and I see my friend and I give him all my money and tell myself it's a necessary evil, and it's all such a fleeting thing, so I guess I best try and enjoy it, all that beauty and just enough time to figure out how to destroy it. I miss the opening night. Talking salvation, and the van is half full. I reached over and changed the station. Just the opening act. I knew it, I'd do it. I don't think I could pull it off, but I need to relearn that one. That'd be a good one to do sometime. It is, it is. And, yeah. So, it's getting warm in here. The backstage room was cold. And now it's warm. I'm not complaining. I'm actually, I'm not complaining about nothing. I've had a wonderful time. This has been really great. This is a band playing the Drive-By Truckers, and we put out an album about a little over a year ago called American Man. We actually played in Philly. We were in Philly the night of the election. It was my favorite show of the year last year. It was a horrific day, and it was such a wonderful night in that room. I know that we all left the stage that night feeling a little bit better, at least for a couple of hours. The last song I wrote for that album was Ever South, which I wrote right before Christmas of the year before. And in any given year, I tend to write a good bit, but I didn't write a single song for an entire year. And I haven't done that since I was 8 years old. So when I started writing, I've never gone a year without writing a single song. And every time I kind of think, wow, is this scary? No, it'll be okay. And it was all good until I actually tried to write a song, and I couldn't, and it was kind of terrifying. And everything was just like, it's like wow, that's never happened before. One of the songs I tried to write was in December of last year, on the day that the Electoral College made it official. And I tried to write this song about it, and I was just really, as you can imagine, anyone who knows me and how I feel, I was not very happy. I wrote this song, and I hated it. It was just so devoid of any life or feeling of hope. And so I shelved it and got mad and threw it away and did all those things that us temperamental artists do when we get mad at ourselves. In the meanwhile, I eventually did start writing some other stuff. It's really pretty different than anything on the last record. So I'm kind of curious to see where the next record ends up going, because I've been writing pretty different. But when Charlottesville happened, I was about as angry as I've ever been in my life about, you know, something like that, and just so angry about the event itself, and then the reaction to it from the official reaction from the White House just made me just so angry. I actually pulled that song out and I rewrote it. So we recorded it this fall and put it out as a single. So it's kind of like the epilogue for the last record. Kind of hoping I don't have to write any more of these kind of songs for a while. I'm kind of over it and ready to do something different. But I'm going to do that one. It's still, unfortunately, a little timely, so I'm going to do it. And it's called The Perilous Night. We have to do that too. This song's not about any of that, but it is kind of about Memphis, so it's called Rosemary with a Bible and a Gun. Strong as the day was long, Rosemary would sing along, wheels rolling steady down the way. The ashtray it would fill up twice, the windows down felt nice, as miles stretched the twilight of the day. Driving up I-55, Mississippi's enemy by Salvation in the cool November air. I'm searching for a mixture that could paint a pretty picture of the wind blowing through Rosemary's hair. Her daddy always said she was the one who made the light the stars could wish upon. Rosemary with a Bible and a gun. was more than smitten by the words as they were written and the opportunities awaiting there. Our time was etched in promise till the truth came down upon us, descending all our hopes into despair. We took our leave and headed north. The tank had $20 worth. The highway called our names like sirens call. 25 and on the run, William Eggleston, parking lots of neon in the fall. Her daddy's eyes drew fire into the sun. Asked me why I thought I was the one whose eyes could deem be worthy to ever cast upon Rosemary with a Bible. Kiss could charm the dark to light the dawn. This roller coaster highway can't compare to the fun of a Memphis saturated in decay and on the run. Rosemary with a Bible and a gun. Says let them in. And I like to tell you there'd be better days, but optimism's running low today. We're off the deep end with a lifeguard that can't swim. Dan and the Nazis are taking up the fight against their own salvation in the Savior's light. Moving into the perilous night, amen. Flags of oppression are blocking out the light, dismantling the greatest generation's fight. Moving into the perilous night, amen. Amen. I'll do another brand new one for you. Going through a divorce, and my band Adam's House Cat broke up, and I left my hometown for the first time after 27 years, and my car got stolen, and that was all in 1 week. And Nirvana Nevermind came out same week, so I turned on the radio, and there was Smells Like Teen Spirit, and that was like my soundtrack for that fall, so at least that was good. And that happened too. That's a different song. But, when they reached the gates of heaven, didn't understand. His friends were coming over. Was it all a dream? Was it all a crazy dream? Saw them laying there before him. What were they doing there? Felt like home, it must be alright. Was it all a dream? Was it all a crazy dream? Memories replayed before. Of his life, lying around in bed on a Saturday morning, two daughters and a beautiful wife. Thank you.
too much. A few other channels to keep me in touch. Got a beautiful wife and three dough-headed kids. A bunch of big secrets I'd kill to keep it. I don't know God, but I fear his wrath. I'm trying to stay focused on the righteous path. Thank you. apron strings, set out for a drastic change of scene. You haunted it town to town and never let them down or take the time to ponder what it means. You climb up to the roof to smoke a few, calm down from your day and soak the view. And you wonder what the hell you're gonna do to hang on. So long, but you put it in a song. Suddenly the whole world wants to sing. So you move to higher ground and put some deep roots down and take the time to ponder everything. Sometimes in the silence of the night, a voice might try to tell you it's not right. So you close your eyes and try with all your might.
No one ever believes me when I say this, but my Puss Comes with Sove, my favorite album in the world, is Todd Rundgren's Something Anything. And, Pennsylvania's Own. And I love that record, and I got turned on to it by my cool older cousin when I was 12. And he's like, hey, check this out. And we listened to side four of it. Wow, that was cool. And he's like, check this out. And he played me The Night the Carousel Burned Down. I was like, wow, that's really fucking cool. So I've always loved that record. And I'm a huge, huge Todd Rundgren fan. And I got to meet him a few years ago and actually got to have dinner with him. And I always heard he hated that record, that he never liked talking about that record. He wrote a book about like all the times he had in the studio, and the chapter on that record is the shortest chapter in the whole book. It's like a page, and he's so dismissive of it, you know. But I did cover a Todd Rundgren song on a record once, and so I decided that's what I'd tell him, and so I was like, and he wore sunglasses all the, like, it was nighttime and at the restaurant, and he had these really dark, crazy sunglasses and orange hair, and then every now and then, like when the menu would come, he would take his sunglasses off and put his other glasses on and read the menu, and then he would put his sunglasses back on, and he was really grumpy, super grumpy, and so when I told him that I recorded the Range War, and he like lit up for a second, and I kind of jokingly said, well, you know, don't hold your breath for any mailbox money, because it didn't sell any copies, and then he seemed kind of grumpy again. Damn, I didn't know who this kid was. I was hoping maybe he was like, you know, some internet sensation or something. I was going to have mailbox money coming, but nope, no such luck, Todd. I think it sold, you know, 15,000 or something. I don't know, but
God bless.
But he did. He actually got kind of animated talking about the song, and he's like, you know, I growing up, it's like I loved going to the movies, and they had back then, you know, serial movies where you'd go and it would be to be continued, and then you'd go the next week to see what happened to, you know, to Gene Autry or the Lone Ranger or whoever, and he's like, I wrote that song as like a bit of Americana about my childhood, and he got really kind of animated and sweet, and then he got grumpy again. So it's a great song, yeah. And I'm probably gonna butcher it, but I'm gonna try to do it since he's been asking for it, and since I'm in Pennsylvania. So.
Thank you.
about the wrinkle in your forehead tells me there's a fit about to get thrown. If we get the van out of the ditch before morning, ain't nobody gotta know about what I've done. And I never hear a single word you say when you tell me not to have my fun. It's the same old shit that I ain't gonna take off anyone. And I don't need to be forgiven by them people in the neighborhood. When we first hooked up, you looked me in the eye. You said, "Paul, we just ain't no good." I'm just a heathen still, and I never have repented for the wrongs you say I've done. Done what I feel. Now it's grown up mean and strong. When you tell me that it's getting just a little bit tight, ain't the first time I've been outgrown. Now I'm gonna push a little harder. She ain't ref till the rods are thrown, and I'll walk away. And I don't need to be forsaken by you or anybody else. And I never had a shortage of people trying to warn me that the dangers I pose to myself. Heathens. Thank you. Missouri, but it could be anywhere. It could be right here on Ruth Street. In fact, it's happened here. And it happened where you're sitting, wherever that might be. And it happened last weekend. It'll happen again next week. And when they turned him over, they were surprised there was no gun. I mean, he must have done something, or else why would he ever? So they spin it for the anchors on the television screen, so they can wag their fingers without asking what it means. What it means. And some looting in some stores, and someone was reminded they ain't called colored folks no more. I mean, we try to be politically correct when we call names, but what's the point of post-racial when no prejudices remain? And that guy who killed that kid down the far standing ground is free to beat up on his girlfriend, wave a brand new gun around. While some kid is dead and buried and laying in the ground with a pocket full of skills. Astrophysics at our fingertips, we're standing at the summit. And some man with a joystick lands a rocket on the comet. We're living in an age where limitations are forgotten. The outer edges move and dazzle us, but the core is something rotten. Cause we're standing at the precipice of prejudice and fear. We trust science just as long as it tells us what we want to hear. We want our truths all fair and balanced, long as our notions lie within it. There's no sunlight in our asses and our heads are stuck up in it. And our heroes may be rapists who watches while we dream, but don't look for me for answers, cause I don't know what it means, what it means. And here we are, 3 years later. And when our record came out, I had to face up to the fact that I'd written a song that asked a whole bunch of questions and offered no answers. But shortly after we recorded this record, I had the honor and privilege of going with my wife to see Patti Smith Group. And it was the 40th anniversary of the Horses album, and they played the album in its entirety. And it was incredible. At one point in the show, Patti Smith, who looks like she's about 5 feet tall at the most, she stopped the band and she raised her tiny little arm and her fist up in the air, and she looked about 60 feet tall when she said, "Love each other, motherfuckers." And I think that's the answer. Bless all of y'all. I hope you have happy holidays and you're safe. And that 2018 will be a little bit better. Yeah.
couple more? All right. Thank y'all, really. Thank you so much. It's been so wonderful. Please have me back. I'm going to do another new one then, since y'all are so awesome. Y'all mind that? This one was written kind of the same way that opening act was written, only many years later under really different circumstances. But it's another one that was kind of written as it was happening. And last summer, we got back from this, like, kind of, it was great. But, you know, family vacations, no matter how great they are, they're a little hellish. And we took a long one because I'd been gone for basically about 14 or 15 months by that time. I'd been gone so much on the road. And so we took this, like, three-week trip down the West Coast. And did a lot of driving down the coastal highway. And it's beautiful. I got back basically 2 days before I had to leave to go play some shows. The show I played was, first thing we played was this resort island off the coast of Georgia called Sea Island. And it's really, really pretty. And it's also like swanked to the point of like, I was really just kind of uncomfortable because I didn't feel like I even had to, I don't have any golf clothes. The people that had us to play, they were really good to us, and they basically offered us up these like rooms for like of like a little mini vacation. Everybody could take their kids or family or whatever, but I couldn't because my kids were starting school and we lived on the West Coast. And so I was there, and I had a show in New York actually the next night, so I basically had to leave as soon as we got through playing and hitch a ride back to Jacksonville, Florida, so that I could catch like a 5 a.m. flight to New York. And I had a few drinks at the show and then a couple more afterwards because I wasn't gonna have to drive. And so I'm walking through the lobby of this really just ridiculously like 1% hotel, this song just kind of hit me. It was like playing in my head. And so I grabbed up all my stuff, and then I basically wrote this song in the shuttle ride taking me to Jacksonville. And so I sat in the back of the car and I wrote the thing, and then I finished it the next day in New York. And so it's about just homesickness and all this crazy shit we live, and it's called Sea Island Lonely. Is way too fancy. I'm never quite prepared for the heat of southern fall. The guy in the lobby's playing piano as I came in. I gave him the stink eye. I wish that I could play the piano half as good as him. I'm lonely. If you see me in the morning, won't you please say something kind to me? You fix me a cup of coffee and tell me that you love me, that this life is how it's meant to be, how it's meant to be. Seat. He's been more than patient, waiting for me to get dry and catch a buzz. To drink another cold beer, put me on the dry shirt, so he can make that drive to Jacksonville. I'm
fly to New York City at 5:30 in the morning, sleepwalking south of Houston all alone. But I'll catch myself a different buzz, look up at the bright lights, revel in the darkness of my songs. Singing, see, I'm lonely, it's a wonder that it's only written in the wind that carries me. And I'll fix your crunchy bacon and make your eggs less runny. Thank you for the way you take care of me. You take care of me. See, I'm lonely. Don't even try to telephone me. The reception is resolving rapidly. Call you in the morning when the New York City lights are dawning to convince you it's how it's meant to be, how it's meant to be. How it's meant to be. Wake up tired and wake up pissed. Wonder how I ended up like this. I wonder why things happen like they do. But I don't wonder long, 'cause I got a show to do. I'm sick of my stomach from the AZT. Broke at my bank 'cause the shit ain't free, but I'm here to stay at least another week or two. And I can't die now, 'cause I got another show to do. For sympathy, just help me with this amp and a guitar or two. And I can't die now, 'cause I got another show. Don't give me no preaching, no self-serving. I ain't no angel, nobody's deserving. Got no political agenda. And ain't got no message for the youth. except where.